ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्ते 20 तत्र चक्रुः परिवृद्धौ गोपा रामजनार्दनौ कृष्णसङ्घटिनः केचिद् आसन् रामस्य चापरे तत्र च इन् दट् गेम् चक्रुः दि मेड् परिवृद्धौ द टु लीडर्स् गोपाः द कवर्ड् बाय्स् रामजनार्दनौ लार्ड् बलराम् एण्ड् कृष्ण कृष्णसङ्घटिनः members of Krishna's party kechid some of them asan became ramasya of balaram cha and apare others the coward boys sorry translation the coward boys chose Krishna and Balaram as the leaders of the two parties Some of the boys were on Krishna's side and others joined Balaram. There's no purport to this, so I'll read the next text. Text number 21.
Acharur vividhaha krida vahya vahakak lakshanaha tatraro hanti jetaro vahanti chapparajitaha.
The boys played various games involving carriers and passengers. In these games, the winners would climb up on the backs of the losers who would have to carry them. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes the following relevant verse from the Vishnu Purana. Harina kridanam nama bala kridanakam tataha prakridata hite sarve dvav dvav yugapad utpatan. They then played the childhood game known as Harina Kridanam, in which each boy paired off with an opponent and all the boys simultaneously attacked the respective rivals.
Om Ajnaniti Miran.
So, we are reading from the chapter Lord Balaram slays the demon Pralambhasur. So here in this verse Shukdev Goswami is explaining how the Lord is playing with his coward boys friends. And the games are being described. So, they would have a game, maybe a tug of war or something like that. And the winning party would be carried on the backs of the members of the losing party. So that way, they would play games. So, here we can see the Shastra says, Prabhupada quotes the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, where it is described who is God, what it takes to be God, the Supreme Ishvara, controller. It is said, नतस्य कार्यं करणं च विद्यते नतत् समश्चाभ्यधिकश्च दृश्यते परास्य शक्तिर् विविधैव श्रूयते स्वाभाविकी ज्ञानबलक्रिया च नतस्य कार्यं करणं च विद्यते फॉर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड there is no duty. He is not obligated to do anything. He is simply enjoying. He is the enjoyer. Natat samascha bhyadikash drishyate. There is nobody equal to him and there is nobody superior to him. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. He's got unlimited potencies which enable him swabhaviki jnana balak kriyasha. Which enable him, his potencies are enabling him to know everything, is giving him all the power and is doing everything for him automatically. So the Lord has put the burden of creation, maintenance and destruction on autopilot mode in one sense, you can say. And he is free. He's free to just relax and enjoy Supreme Lord. And that's what is special about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. That there is no one like him, no incarnation can even be close to him. Even Krishna's incarnation cannot match with him. Because what Krishna does, nobody does. Simply enjoying. We don't hear this any incarnation of the Lord who's playing just like this. So this is, Prabhupada gives an example to explain this concept, that just as in a huge multinational company, the owner may employ many thousands and thousands of people to work for him. And where is the employer? He himself is in Switzerland, Holland or some other place enjoying his life. He's enjoying. He doesn't have to work. So that is the position, you see. So the superior position is to be the enjoyer. And the Bhagavatam explains Shri Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. Doesn't have anything to do. And you know that story of during the time of, I think, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or somebody, some German or some person, he wanted to find out, he read the Vedic literatures and he made a contrast and he felt that, wow, other traditions hardly have any description of how God looks. Well, here we have a Vedic tradition where this detailed description of not just one God but 33 crore different deities, and we have to choose from any one of them. And he was quite excited and he came to India to find out who should be the supreme, who could be the supreme. And he went to the temples of various incarnations and various demigods, and all of them were engaged in different activities, with some with their tongues out, killing some demons, and with Lord Vishnu, with Shankh Chakra Gada Padma, and all those things. But then finally when he comes to Krishna's temple, he finds he's just playing the flute and he felt, oh, he is God. He must be God. So the people asked him, why did you come to this conclusion? So he said, because if God also has to do something, if he is also engaged in performing activities, just as we or so many other gods and demigods, so then how can he be God? He has to be special. And even though his conclusion may have been drawn in ignorance, but still actually the Vedic literature says that the Supreme Lord, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha bhyadikascha drishyate parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhavik jnana balak kriya cha, that it is all automatically being performed while the Lord rejoices in his abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 12th chapter, 11th text, and the preceding verses, a very systematic description is given of the games that Krishna played. So amazing, you know. And we may think that, what is this? Is there any point in discussing this? But yes, Kunti Maharani, in her prayers, she says that. You know, she gives a reason, very interesting reason, in the first canto, 18th chapter, in the 35th verse, she says, Bhavesmin klishamananam avidya kama karma bihi श्रवण स्मरणार्हाणि करिष्यन्ति केचन. She's saying that people speculate why you appear in this world. And she says that maybe, you know, some people say kechidahu rajam jatam punya shlokasya kirte yadoh priyasyan vavaye malyasyaiva chandanam. Maybe you come to please your devotees like yadoho. You have come to fulfill the prayers of your devotees. Maybe not. But basically it seems it's causeless. Just like sandalwood is growing on a mountain in Malaysia. Nobody can say why it is like that. It can grow anywhere. Who can know why you appear? Then she speculates, maybe Nabharavata Ranayanya Bhuvo Navo Dado Ivo Dadao Sidanti Bhuri Bharena Jato Yatma Bhuvarthita. That maybe because the world is overburdened by sinful people, you have come to reduce the burden. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, popularly known. But then she says, and then she says that bhavesmin klishamanana avidhya kama karma bihi shravana smaranar hani krishyan iti kechana. Now this is a less known or less talked about, less popular reason why the Lord appears, which she says is, you have appeared to rejuvenate the process of hearing and chanting. Because if you would not have appeared, there would have been nothing to discuss about. And the process of liberation from this world is to discuss the pastimes of Sri Krishna, which all of y'all are doing right now. Y'all are hearing, and I happen to be speaking. So this is the eternal process of liberation. Kunti Maharaj very nicely says, Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grihananti, Abhikshnashaha, Smaranti, Nandanti, Tavehitam Janaha, Eva Pashanti, Acharena, Tavakam, Bhava Pravahu, Paramam Padambujam. That is the process. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, to speak, to hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of becoming liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Everybody likes to hear. It's not the question of whether we want to hear or not. Everybody likes to hear. Question is, the subject matter is different. When we are discussing something about ourselves, somebody is talking about ourselves, we are very eager to hear. But when it comes to Krishna, then it becomes a little difficult to sit, feel sleepy. One of the reasons why Krishna mentions Arjuna, Gudakesha, Gudakesha. Why? Gudakesha means one who has conquered sleep. Because unless a person has not conquered sleep, he cannot hear Krishna consciousness. He cannot hear the message. Gudakesha, Gudakesha Bharat. He says, one who has conquered sleep. And you know that story? Some people asked Krishna that, why do you like Arjun so much? Why do you find him so wonderful? We are also your friends. Pandavas asked, so he said, come. And he took the Pandavas to the tent of Arjun where he was sleeping, and while he was sleeping, he was chanting, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Lord said, see, he's chanting while he's sleeping. And you people, you all sleep when you chant. Sleep when you chant and sleep when you hear. So that is the process. So then Kunti Maharani explains that is the process to hear. Subject matter is different. Subject matter is Krishna, and that is what is going to get us out of this world. The process is very simple, and that's the problem, is that it is too simple that it gets overlooked. And when you tell people that the process of liberation from this material world is to sit in a class and just hear, they say, how can it be so easy? Not possible. It's not possible. Then you say, then you go to the forest and do Ashtang Yoga. So that's too difficult. So in any case, they're not doing anything. So the thing is, it's too simple that it may get overlooked. And anyway, that is the process. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the Samam Bonam of all the Puranas. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. What are the games? The wonderful coward boys in Vrindavan, it is said that they would make the noises of bees, you know. They would make, you know, just like the small child is going with his hands like this. You know, they would imitate the peacocks. They would imitate the peacocks. And they would make the sound of cuckoos. Or they would make the elegant postures of the swans, you know, flapping their wings, and they would walk like the swans. Or they would go and sit quietly next to the ducks. Or they would follow the birds by following in their shadows. They would flap their wings, their hands, and imitating the birds. And they would imitate the frogs. They would cross the river by jumping just like frogs. They would climb on the trees. They would attract the monkeys. They make faces like the monkeys. So they would do all these wonderful activities with the Supreme Lord. And the Lord is, and Shukdev Goswami is mentioning that in the verse that don't think that it is an ordinary activity. These people are great souls. Great souls, actually. It says, Ittham satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakam vijahru krita punya punjaha. That these boys are great saintly personalities, highly evolved beings, great siddha purushas, nitya suris, who have actually attained the qualification to be along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doing these very simple activities of playing and exchanging activities and engaged in the loving dealings with the Supreme Lord. So this is the wonderful thing. And this is the meditation of even great devotees like the gopis. They are meditating on this particular pastime of the Lord, where the Lord is coming to the forest.
Baraha peedam natavara vapu karanayoho karinikaram vibhradvasaha kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamala randran venum adhara sudaya purayar gopa vrindayir vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi.
So the gopis are constantly thinking about this, visualizing this scene of Krishna, how he is dressed up.
Baraha peedam, he's got a peacock feather on his turban. Natavara vapu, he is dressed up just like a dancer. Karanayoho karinikaram, he's got karinika flowers in his ears. Vibhradvasah kanaka kabisham, he's adorning a beautiful golden yellow colored dhoti, and he is garlanded by a wonderful, beautiful Vaijayanti garland. And randran venum adhara sudaya, and he is pouring nectar into the flute from his lotus lips. And he is entering into Vrindavan, while the coward boys are singing his glories. Vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. So this particular pastime of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is visualized by the gopis. So this chapter is entitled Slaying the Demon Pralambasur, because what is going to follow is this demon who is going to come and enter into the group of the coward boys, and he's going to pretend to be one of them. He comes disguised, and Krishna recognizes him, but still he's involved in the game. The Pralambasur demon, he takes the side of Balaram, he takes the side of Krishna, and Krishna and Balaram make two teams, and he's on Krishna's side, and Krishna's team loses, and Pralamb Basur, he decides that he will be the one to take Balaram on his shoulder, and he will secretly take him to a far off place where he will kill Balaram. That was the idea. So he did that. He took Balaram on his shoulder and he started running far away, taking him away from the coward boys. And he was very happy, thinking that he has accomplished his mission. And Balaram, after some time, Pralamb Basur started becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, started increasing his size. And Balaram at first was confused. He was confused. He was thinking, what is this? And he started shouting and calling out to his younger brother, Krishna. He started saying, help me. What should I do in this situation? My career is becoming so big. He was bewildered. And the Supreme Lord Krishna then told him that, give up your illusion and remember who you are and kill that demon. And then Pralamb Basur was killed. Balaram then took his fist and punched him on his head, and his head split open and he fell to the ground dead. So the acharyas now explain that what does Pralamb Basur demon represent. So this Pralamb Basur demon represents gross and subtle sex, which means the desire for adoration and appreciation. So Bhagavatam explains that till a person is not free from this mentality to receive appreciation, he cannot attain Krishna Prema. It's not possible. This demon, which is there in all bound, conditioned souls' hearts, must be given up, must be conquered, must be removed, eliminated. So that is the message. So we see in Ramayana recently there was Ram Navami festival observed, and also so many examples were there in Ramayana. You can see that in Lord Ramachandra's Leela, we can see, if somebody would ask that, what is one main reason or the prayojan or the purpose of Lord Ramachandra's descent? And one could say, the acharyas explained, to show to the world the principle of obedience. Because Lord Ramachandra was the epitome of obedience. He always followed every rule in the book. Lord Krishna was just the opposite. In fact, he broke every rule in the book. You know, that's why people, they can't understand, in fact. And therefore, acharyas explain, if you want to follow Krishna's instruction, but don't follow Krishna's example. But if you want to follow an example, then follow Lord Ramachandra's example. Because Lord Ramachandra gave the example of how one should behave. Whereas Lord Krishna is setting an example of what he is, who he is, as being Param Purna Purushottam Bhagavan. Whereas Lord Ramachandra Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan. So how can we overcome this anartha of false ego? Lord Ramachandra very vividly explained at every step how he was obedient to his superiors. And acharyas also explained that the greatest enemy of false ego is obedience. Because false ego says, I will have my way or the highway. So, but obedience means it is just an opposite principle. And therefore acharyas explained in the principles of devotional service, anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishvaso goptritve varanam tatha atmanikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati. In the principles of surrender, the most important principle is obedience to the guru. Because if you're not obedient, then there's no question of surrender, there's no question of devotion, because then you're just doing whimsically whatever you want. There's no question of surrender. So obedience is the main principle of surrender. And Lord Ramchandra, he set that example. And therefore it is said, when Vishwamitra came to Ayodhya to say to Dashara that, I want your son. So he said, for what purpose? I want to kill these demons. He said, and he couldn't believe it. He said, what? My son, he's just 12 years old. He's not even learned how to pick up his bow and use and shoot arrows. He's just a young lad, 12 years old. He sleeps at 6 o'clock and wakes up early in the morning when these Rakshasas wake up at 6 o'clock and start their activities. He's too young. You call me, I will come. I'm the king. I will fight with the Rakshasas. Why do you want my son? And then finally Vishwamitra said, no, I want him. And then he conceded, he gave. And it is explained that when he is told to go, Lord Ram just went, just like an object, placing an object from one place to another. Just as you place one article from one place, pick it up and you put it at another place. It is said that Dashrath just gave Ram like that. Didn't even say that, would you like to go? Would you like to go to your guru's ashram? It'll be nice forest, nice everything. We'll eat fruits, we'll eat roots. There'll be some little mosquitoes, some snakes. Would you like to go there? You know, just like sometimes children are asked whether you want to go to school, and the children are crying, "Oh, I don't want to go," cribbing and but Lord Rama was not like that. He was told to go, he just walked. As if he never had a free will. He did not have a choice. He just chose to go. Obedience. Quite amazing. So the Supreme Lord, from his personal example, is therefore when Lord Krishna is telling Arjun that surrender, and Krishna say, and Arjun is thinking, yeah, Lord, it's very easy for you to speak. Speaking is always easy. If you would have been on my side, you would have known. Guru Nahatvam hi Mahanubhavan Shreyo Bhokto Apikshalo Abhihaloke, that it is my guru standing there. It's not easy to kill one's guru. You would have killed your guru. Would you have done all these things what you are telling me to do? Talking is always easy. Krishna is saying, don't say like that to me, because in my previous incarnation I did all that. As Lord Ramachandra, I've set an example. Now I'm coming and talking to you. So it's like that. So obedience. So devotional service is very practical, actually. And that is how it is. And therefore, ego means my way. Everything should be done my way. There's no cooperation. And that is how it is. And therefore, if you see that when Lord Rama went with Vishwamitra, and there was this yajna which he was performing, at that time this great demoness came there. Demon's name was Taraka, great massive demon. So Vishwamitra told Lord Ram that, okay, you have to kill her now. So Lord Ramachandra, he was thinking in his mind, the first demon he has to kill is a woman. How sad, how bad. And as Lord Krishna also, he killed, the first demon was a woman. So he killed. He did that. And what does Taraka represent? She also represents false ego. Just as Pralambasur became big. And the nature of false ego, just as Pralambasur was becoming big, Taraka was huge. Shastra has explained that false ego is not so simple to control. False ego is not so simple. And the nature of false ego is that it grows. So like Pralambasur was becoming big, Taraka is huge. It's not easy to control it. It's always increasing. It's not so easy that you learn about it and then you control it. Taraka, that's what she's huge. It's not like how you learned how to cook. Then you do Taraka. What is cooking? Basically Taraka. If you learn how to put tadka in the sabji, you learn basically how to cook. But it's not tadka, it's tadka. It's not so easy, basically, because the nature of false ego is that it changes its shape. Just like Pralambasur or tadka, she was huge. And how huge she was, tadka. That is also described. Not a joke. So it is described that she was wearing a earring made out of elephants. And how many elephants? 1,000 elephants. Somebody may ask, how can you make a earring out of elephants? So she had actually done that. She had tied the trunk of an elephant to the tail of another elephant, and that way she made two earrings, 1,000 each. That was the size of this tadka. Shastra is saying that's how difficult it is to control ego. It's as huge as mammoths. And Lord Ram killed that demoness with one arrow. It was sufficient. So Pralambasur was killed by Balarama. So this ego has to be conquered with the help of the Guru, in the presence of the Lord. And because the false ego, the nature of false ego is that it cannot be detected. And by the time you detect it, it changes its shape. Just like amoeba. You know, you have an amoeba. You look through the microscope, it was maybe round, and then after some time you look, it is like elliptical or whatever. It changes the shape. So similarly, you cannot know for sure what is it that your activities are being governed by or influenced by pride and vanity, or it is actual leadership. So it's very difficult to actually understand on our own. But there is only one astra which can kill this demon, that is principle of surrender and obedience. If the Guru says something and you are willing to do, going to the Guru and asking, what should I do? That itself is what can conquer the principle of false ego. Because as long as there is false ego, there cannot be cooperation. What is false ego? It is the root cause of the living entity estranging himself from the association of the Lord. He doesn't want to be with the Lord. Icha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata. He wants to be separate from the Lord. He wants to say, I want to be Ishwara. Ishwara aham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan, suki, adyo, bhajanavan, asmi, konyosi, sadrushomaya, yakshe, dasyami, modishya, iti agyana, vimohitaha. I am Ishwara. I am the controller. I am also religious. I also give charity. I give donation. I help people. I guide people. I am doing all these things. So what need is there for being, for surrendering to any God when I myself am God? I am God. There's no need of anybody, any other God. And Prabhupada, that's what we were listening to, the lecture that given by Prabhupada. And he said, what is this leadership? It is all crap, Prabhupada said. It's all crap, it's humbug. Why? Because the leaders are proclaiming themselves to be the protector. But no, a true leader must say that I am not the protector. Krishna is the protector. And he brings everybody to surrender to that supreme protector, that is Sri Krishna. And this may sound fanatical, but it is the truth. That nobody is the protector. Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was very wonderfully explaining in one lecture, and he was saying that he was going in a flight and he saw husband and wife in a plane, and something happened to the plane and some turbulence, and the wife just clung on to her husband, and the husband was like patting her, said, don't worry, and he was thinking, this is ridiculous. I mean, if the plane crashes, all will be dead. What, who is he to give protection? You should say, preach to her, saying that think of Krishna. So we give artificial solace to people saying that we will protect you. No, but real protection is to remind everybody that the real protector is Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. Chant his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So that is the lack of cooperation with the Supreme Lord. Ego, that we have estranged ourselves. And estranged ourselves from everybody practically. Everybody. There's no cooperation. Everybody wants to be separate. Everybody wants to have their own thing, their own way. That's the problem. But cooperation can come when we give up this. And like when Vishwamitra comes to take the Lord, he tells Dasharath, give your son. And Dasharath says, I cannot give my son. How can I give? He's too young. And then at that time, Vishwamitra tells, go and ask your guru, take his advice, your Kula Guru, Vashishta. And Vashishta, he goes to him and he says, should I do? And Vashishta and Vishwamitra were always known in history to be enemies. And we know that story, the story is well known that Vishwamitra came to the hut of Vashishta, and he was treated very wonderfully. He was given a very wonderful cordial reception. He had come along with thousands. Vishwamitra was actually a Kshatriya, he was a king. And he was moving around in the forest with many thousands of soldiers. And he happened to come at the ashram of Vasishtha. Vasishtha welcomed him, said, please be my guest. So he said, no, no, you are simple Brahmin. How can you arrange for so many of us? He said, don't worry, you just take a bath, come back, I'll prepare something for you. And he prepared wonderful palaces and everything for the soldiers. Each and every soldier had a variety of enjoyments and luxuries available, with wonderful foods prepared for the whole week. And Vishwamitra, the king, was shocked to see how such a simple Brahmin living in the forest with hardly any resources, hardly any facilities, could arrange for such an elaborate facility. So he inquired and he found out that Vasishtha had a magical cow, Kamdhenu. So he said, I want it. Can you give? I'll give you crores of cows in return for this one cow. So Vasishtha said, no, no, I cannot do that. So then he forcibly tried to take away the cow. And then a fight ensued, and through the cow, with the help of the cow, Vasishtha defeated Vishwamitra. All his soldiers were defeated. Everybody. And then Vishwamitra, he concluded that the power of a Brahmin is greater than that of a Kshatriya. So I will become a Brahmin. So he gives up his throne and he does austerities, performs austerities. He becomes a Raj Rishi. He was not satisfied. Brahma comes and says, you are Raj Rishi now, don't worry. He says, no, I'm not satisfied. What is the Vasishtha? He is Brahma Rishi. Then I will become Brahma Rishi. I will. And then he does tapasya. And he's doing tapasya. And finally Brahma had to come and says, all right, now you have got the title. You have done so much of tapasya. Now you are given the title of Brahma Rishi. And he says, no, I don't agree. Why you don't agree? Says, let Vasishtha come and give me certificate. Then I will agree. And Vasishtha also comes and he proclaims, all right, you are also amongst us. You are one of the Brahma Rishis. And then he becomes satisfied and still their argument does not end. Still they are having that difference. And then we know that story of Trishanku. Trishanku comes there, goes to Vasishtha, and he says, I want to go to heaven. Vasishtha says, yeah, you can do pious deeds. You will go to heaven. So he says, I don't want to wait for so long. I want to go right now. I want to go in this body. So Vasishtha said, get lost from here. That's all I can tell you. Get out. And then he goes to Vishwamitra and he says, just see, Vasishtha has denied my offer. What did you offer? What was your desire? He says, I wanted to go to heaven in this body. He said he cannot do it. Vishwamitra said, don't worry, I will do it. What's the problem? If he cannot do it, I will do it. No problem. And he chanted the mantras and he sent him to heaven. And while he was going to heaven, Indra objected. They all started catching their nose. They said, what is this? Who is this mortal? Who is this earthling who has come to the heavens? And all of them said, see, this person is trying to enter into heaven. He's not qualified. He's coming with his earthly body. So Indra took his thunderbolt and shot him down. And he came shooting like a shooting star back again to the earth. Called out to Vishwamitra, help me, save me, save me. Just see, your pride is at stake. Your Brahma Tejas. Just see, Indra is insulting. So he said, all right, don't worry, I'll send you back again. Again he chanted mantra, swaha, and again up he goes. And Indra again, there's a huge battle. Then he's stuck in between. And then finally Brahma comes and says, all right, you can live in between heaven and earth. That is your place. Compromise. That was a compromise position. So you see, then so much of ahankara principle, even in great rishis, that still did not end there. It went on further. Vishwamitra, once he went to Saraswati river and he commanded Saraswati to come and do his bidding. Saraswati said, what should I do? River Saraswati. And she said, wash away Vasishtha's hut and bring him down. And Goddess Saraswati said, how can I? She's a big rishi. She said, I will curse you if you don't do that. So she flooded Vasishtha's hut and brought it down. But she was afraid that it would be an offense if she brought it to Vishwamitra's hut. So she put the hut down, even below, and swept his hut way below. And Vishwamitra got angry and cursed Saraswati. So much of enmity. Great rishis, great stalwarts, knowing the Vedas, knowing all the mantras, tantras, kriyas, mudras. And again, there's so much story that both Vasishtha and Vishwamitra went to heaven. And Vishwamitra observed that Vasishtha got some special attention, some special respect. So Vishwamitra said, what is it? How come that you are respected more than me? What is it that you have done? And Vasishtha said, because I performed this Rajasuya sacrifice for the Suryavamsh king, Chandrasekhar, who was a great king. Story of Chandrasekhar, must be known. Very righteous king. Because of his righteousness, because of his piety, I, becoming the Kulu Guru and doing the Yajna for this person, I have received that extra benefit, that extra edge over you. So is it? Immediately he plots, okay, now I should do something. Comes down. And he tries to break this king's piety by trying to engage him, tempting him to indulge in sin. So much. And then finally, when Vasishtha came to know, he said, why are you behaving like this? You're behaving like a stork. Become a stork, and curses Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra tells him, you are cursing me to become a stork. I curse you to become a kingfisher. And both of them become kingfisher and stork, and they are in Manasa river bank, in the lake, the Manasa river, on a tree they are both living. And even as birds, they were fighting, pecking at each other, bleeding and hurting each other. And then Brahma had to come and take pity on them and release them from each other's curse. This is Pralambasur. This is the false ego. Which is very difficult to understand. That what are we motivated? What is our motivation right now? Is it false ego? Is it... What is it? So therefore this false ego is very, very insidious. It's very difficult to give up. It's the last thing that will go. And therefore the solution is obedience. Obedience and therefore surrender to Guru is very important, and that is the process. We can see examples of humility also in the Shastras, that the great devotee in South India, you know, there is this Kamba who wrote also his translation of Ramayana. He says that please don't find faults with what I am speaking, please don't find faults with what I have written, because somebody said, why have you written Ramayana again? There is already Ramayana. 24,000 verses Valmiki has already written. What need is there for you to again write Ramayana? So he says, please don't find faults with me. Consider I am like a child. I am trying to glorify the Lord in my own way. Lord is he's the father of everybody. So I am trying to glorify the Lord in my own way. I am like a child. Does anybody find fault with a child? Nobody. I am a child. Alright. Then he says, like a madman. I am like a madman also. I don't know what I am speaking. I don't know what I have written. Does anybody find fault with a madman? No. So that's what I am. Consider me like that. And now, just try to read the book. If you find something good, take it. I'll just leave it. The humility of this great saint. So that is the example. So many examples of humility. So that is the idea, is when we surrender to Guru. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra in his pastime, he has given so many such examples. So therefore, people want to have their own way. And therefore, when you speak with people, someone was asked, Which verse do you find best in Gita? So he said, you know that verse where Krishna says to Arjuna, Yat ichchasi tatha kuru, that do what you like. I'm also doing what I like. And I'm following Gita. So that is the thing. So everybody wants to do what they want to do, but no. And but Krishna says that also in the Gita. They don't know the full thing. What does Krishna say in the Gita? Says, iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyad guhyataram maya vimrishyete na yogena yatichhasi tatha kuru. That now what I have told you, contemplate on that and do what you feel is best. But at the same time he says, machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi athachetvam ahankaram na shroshyasi vinangshasi. That now I have told you the Gita and you become Krishna conscious, you follow what I am saying, that you will tarishyasi, you will cross over the ocean. But if you do not listen to what I am saying, na shroshyasi, do not listen, ahankaram, because of ahankaram, then vinangshasi, you will be destroyed. So that's the fact that the Lord has given the option. There's no force, there's no compulsion on anybody to do what Krishna has said. But the Lord is also giving the idea of what is going to happen if one does not follow. So this surrender, the principle of surrender sounds very bitter. It sounds horrible to a modern person, you know, in the contemporary world. The principle of surrender sounds poisonous actually. But the question, it's not the question of surrendering by force, it's the question of surrendering by love. Because everybody is surrendering to somebody. And therefore the surrender is not something forced upon the living entity. It's a choice which a person naturally makes when he realizes that the Supreme Lord is so merciful. And that's why the Bhagavatam is so full of glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we realize that, oh how wonderful Krishna is. How wonderful the Supreme Lord is. That there is nobody worthy. He's worthy of my surrender. I have to surrender to him. Where else can I go? So that is the whole idea of, and that is the message in this particular pastime of Pralambasura. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that the way to get free from all the anarthas is to chant Hare Krishna. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. So it is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. So with chanting Hare Krishna, one can be cleansed of all the anarthas of our heart and attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.